Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.
What's up, everyone? Freddy the Pizza Man here, host of the Pizza Man podcast. Now joining forces with ChristopherMedia.net. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, the Pizza Man podcast. And, of course, find all the podcasts on ChristopherMedia.net. We talk Detroit sports. I bring on guests, passions, opinions, all for Detroit sports and more. We even talk pizza. So thanks for tuning in and spread the word.
Christopher Media, let's make some noise.
Welcome to Beer Nuts, a weekly excursion into the world of craft beer, brought to you by MichiganBeerGuide.com. And now, here are the Beer Nuts.
All right, everybody, welcome to episode number 90 of Beer Nuts. Tonight we have four Beer Nuts present, and we are also going to have a special guest from Ireland to celebrate St. Patrick's Day 2018 on episode 90. I'd like to introduce everybody before we get into things. We got Uncle Pete, who's on the road in Florida. Thanks for joining us, Pete.
Hey, hello from the sun and the sand.
And back here in Michigan, we have Greg.
Hey, everybody.
We have Doug.
Hello, hello.
And myself. So Chris is a little under the weather this week. Hopefully he'll be feeling up to St. Paddy's festivities this weekend, but for now, we just invite everybody to open up a cold beer. Hopefully, you have something to celebrate St. Paddy's Day. And when I say St. Paddy's Day, make sure you spell that with two D's, not two T's, because it's not St. Patricia's Day. Anyway, for the quote of the week this week, we're going to turn it over to Greg. Greg, what do you got?
All right, for the quote of the week, I've got many people die of thirst, but the Irish are born with one. That's from Spike Milligan. Cheers to that.
Here's Spike. Alrighty then. Well, I'm working up a good thirst just thinking about St. Patrick's Day. Always one of my favorite holidays. So let's get right into things. Uncle Pete's been, I guess, rather festive today. He's on vacation in Florida. So we're going to let him go first and tell us about your beer and your trip and kick it off, Pete. Happy St. Paddy's Day.
Yeah, thank you. Happy St. Paddy's Day, everybody. And the theme of the Irish beers I was able to locate locally here, where I'm at, is in Florida in the Tampa Bay, St. Petersburg area. I'm actually camping at an RV mobile home park in St. Petersburg and visiting some friends. And one of the recommended breweries from my friend here was Barley Mow. That's Barley and Mow. Mow is M-O-W, like mowing the grass. A Barley Mow Brewing Company in Largo. That's about 10 miles a little bit north of St. Petersburg. And a little small place. I walked in and I really enjoyed a couple of samples. I had the Red Beard Irish Red, which I'm going to talk about. But I also tasted the, and I'll just mention it, it was a Apple Cinnamon Brogue on Nitro, which was an Irish dry stout. But it had a really nice apple cinnamon enhanced flavor in there. I don't know what additives they put in there to get that. I mean, of course I do, but I mean, I don't know how they did it. And it was very nice, but I couldn't get a growler to go. So I did get a growler of the Red Beard Irish Red, and we'll pour that up and talk about it. So I got a 5.7 ABV. I'm going to pour it up here and see what we get. Nice, rich, tan head. Get a lot of biscuity, doughy aroma, very malty, has a sweet aroma. It's got a nice, rich caramel color. Let's give it a taste. It's got a nice initial sweetness, kind of a light-bodied to me, but it's got a nice caramel flavor not heavy malt, but there's really not a lot of IBUs in this. I don't have anything on the IBUs, but it's got to be pretty low. Tastes really nice. Would be great. I'd love to have a meal with this right now. but, you know, it's corned beef and cabbage, I think, would go good with this Irish Red Ale. Yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's on the lighter side. I could pound a few of these. It's not a heavy red in any way. Kind of a middle-of-the-road offering in my view, but nice little place. We talked about the Beer Nuts there, and hopefully I can get the guys from Barley Mow Brewing to give us a listen.
Just giving them a shout out here with their Red Beard Irish Red. And wish all them over there a happy St. Paddy's Day as well. I am looking forward to going to several breweries while I'm here. I got a long list on my little memo pad here on my phone. And this barley mow was a good start. So cheers, happy St. Paddy's Day, and hope you get some good Irish Reds, maybe a Smithwick's or what's that, John, a Schmidt's?
Schmidt's.
Schmidt's Irish Red, maybe, but that's all not dry Irish stouts for St. Paddy's Day. There's a lot of offerings out there, so why don't you, everybody, explore a little bit.
Sounds good to me. Yeah, it's a good time to rediscover some different styles that we kind of overlook, and the Irish Red would be one.
Right.
All right, well, thanks for taking the time to join us on vacation. You want to get back to your vacation?
I do. So? Thanks. I will next week. I hope I can get together with you again, and I'd like to do it from one of the breweries, you know, maybe Cigar City or Angry Chair or something like that. So we'll keep in touch, and we'll report in every now and then with some postings on the site.
Sounds great. We look forward to that. Enjoy your vacation, and thanks for joining us, Pete.
Cheers. Yeah, bring some warm weather back too, Pete.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Please bring some warmth.
Okay.
Uncle Pete, live on location in sunny Florida. So now we're going to come back to wintry Michigan, and Greg is going to introduce the next beer, and I think it's a beer that I'm going to be able to enjoy all with him. So tell us about the next beer, Greg.
All right, so our next one comes from Cleveland, Ohio, Great Lakes Brewing Company. This is their Conway's Irish Stout. I was able to pick up a single today at Holiday Market in Royal Oak. And just a little description here on the bottle. It's a pint for Pa Conway, our co-owner's grandfather and policeman who'd likely uphold that an Irish ale with full-bodied caramel malt flavors is just the ticket. And this comes in at 6.3%, 25 IBUs, and they say it pairs well with corned beef, stews, and a hard day's work. And that sounds pretty good to me. So getting into it here. Pours a clear, you know, ruby brown with a nice white head. Very minimal activity in terms of carbonation. A little bit there. Giving it a smell here. Toasted biscuits. A good caramel in there, like in the description. A little bit of a nut flavor towards it. Mild floral hops. Let's get a taste of it, see if it matches. Nice, easy drinking, light and smooth. Doesn't overpower you. Same with the biscuit malts of the smell that we had earlier and the sweet caramel flavor as well. Get a little hoppiness there, a little floral hops, and just a real clean, smooth drinking beer. This you can put quite a few of these down if you so choose to, and especially at 6.3%, so certainly a good beer from them and good way to celebrate St. Paddy's Day here coming up. I like it. Hey. John, I mean, you said you had one as well. What do you think?
I sure did. I just cracked it open, and it actually reminded me, it sounded very similar to the beer that Pete introduced from Florida. So it's the Irish Red style, and again, it's a style I overlook, and it's like when you have a lot of choices, it's one of those ones you're like, there's a lot of more interesting styles. But this is the time of the year when you think about it with Paddy's Day. And, man, I'm really enjoying this. I mean, I can remember a long time ago not getting very excited about Killian's mass-produced fake Irish Red. This is actually a real, really tasty beer. You know, I really like that biscuity malt. It's what's the ABV on this? About 5, probably?
6.3.
Oh, wow. Well, that's not too bad. But it seems like a beer that's very quaffable. You know, it goes down smooth, and I'd have no problem crushing 2 or 3 of these. And actually tastes really, really good. It was something that I wasn't very excited about when I picked this up for, to review on the show. I'm like, seen this on the shelf before. But now that it's opened my eyes up, it's really... really a lot more flavor than I expected.
Yep, the you know, all the you described it perfectly with, you know, biscuity malt, a little bit of sweetness, a little bit of nuttiness, but really no flaws. Really nice and clear, nice solid pure color. You know, a nice rich ruby amber brown, and really, as they'd say in Ireland, a lovely beer.
It is a lovely beer. Absolutely. And you know, put a few of these down, you know, as easy drinking as it is, you might be doing an Irish jig in no time, that's for sure.
Amen. Well, Dugout, I was talking to Dugout today, and Dugout was telling me that the Conway name, I guess, is the founders of Great Lakes. Is that correct, Doug?
Yes. Yeah, that's their last name.
So I guess Papa Conway was a police officer, so... You know, we raise our glass to Papa Conway. Good job. And Great Lakes does some, they win a lot of awards. They make some great beers down there in, on the shores of Lake Erie. All righty. Well, two red ales to start things off. I imagine things are going to start getting a little darker here. So let's turn it over to Doug for his selection.
All right. I wasn't originally going to be on the show tonight, but as things turned out, I was free, so it kind of left me scrambling for a last-minute choice. I went to my local grocery store, and not a lot. I mean, we've done, this is our third St. Patrick's Day show, so we've covered a lot of bases. Decided to stay away from the Guinness and the Harp and the, Harp's not really made in Ireland anymore anyways, but Smithwick and went a different direction. I wanted to stay with Stout. So I left that store disappointed. I went to my local little neighborhood bottle shop, and on the shelf he had a beer from Epic called Triple Barrel Big Bad Baptist, and it is an Imperial Stout. The Triple Barrel comes in. It's an Imperial Stout aged in whiskey and rum barrels with cocoa nibs. And then it also contains barrel-aged coffee beans and barrel-aged coconut. So I'm not sure the process on the... I know that barrel-aged coffee beans are really a thing right now, but I'm not sure what the process on the aging of the coconut is. This beer is 11.4%, so not for the faint of heart at all. And it's... let's get into this a little bit. I already poured it, and I've already sipped it, but pours really a dark, opaque black. A little bit of a head to it, which is, and it has good head retention, which is somewhat rare on a lot of big high ABV bourbon barrel stouts. They seem to lose that head retention, but this one certainly has it. So, right when you open the bottle, you just get hit with the smell of rum and coconut. Not quite pina colada style, but you know it's there. And that chocolate and coffee just kind of waft right in right after that. So nose on it, yeah, some burnt sugars and molasses. Definitely getting the coconut and the rum and the coffee. I mean, you can tell this is big from just the aroma on the beer. Definitely some vanilla aroma in there as well. So I sip this guy, and it's a booze bomb for sure. I mean, we've talked a lot about beers masking the ABV. There's no secret to the amount of alcohol that's in this on this one. There's a pretty good burn right up front. It's followed by some pretty intense coconut rum flavor whiskey, definitely. And then the chocolate starts to seep in towards the end. The rum's definitely there, but it's not as strong as the whiskey is, which would be my preference anyways. It's a big, huge beer. It's certainly not a session beer. It's meant to be sipped and enjoyed. I like that it doesn't have a real, I mean, it was warm shelf when I bought it. It doesn't have a real hard chill on it right now. So a lot of the flavor's coming out.
These Big Bad Baptist series beers are really phenomenal, and if you ever see them, pick them up. I would highly recommend this, but within reason. I mean, it's something that you got to know right up front. You're talking about a dessert beer. I promised a shot of Jameson. I just slugged it, so I had to chase it with a bit more of this beer. I'm going to be sleeping good tonight. And Epic does great beers, in my opinion, and definitely do great stouts. And I always enjoy these Big Baptists. Any of you other guys have had this? This is 2017, by the way, but I believe it was done late 2017, so somewhere around November, December, when this came out.
Well, I have a bottle in my cellar that I've heard great reviews from friends that have tried this, and Doug out knows this. As soon as he posted that he was going to be drinking that, I'm like, where did you find that? Can you get more? Because I had this one bottle in the cellar, and it's like one of those, if I drink it, I won't have any more. So now that I know that he has a little honey hole where there's a few left, I might be drinking that for St. Patrick's Day. So
I kind of think the reason there's a lot of them there is he's got the whole Big Bad Baptist series sitting on his shelf. I swear there's still like 9 bottles out of the case of 12 on this one. But it's priced up at $22 a bottle. So it's not something that you go, well, I'll give that a try. You know, 22 bucks, why not?
Dollar an ounce.
Yeah, I never thought of it that way, but oh, I just drank another dollar.
Well, you know, if it's aged in 2 different barrels, I mean, it costs a lot for those barrels. You know, you got 2 different barrels.
Absolutely. And even the processes of the coffee and the coconut, I'm assuming those are in separate barrels as well. So now you're talking 4 different barrels. That's quite an undertaking. I heard one reviewer kind of just poo-poo it, say it's just over the top and there's no restraint in the beer. But, you know, that's the point of it. It's not to be restrained. It's to be big. I mean, why would you call it Big Bad Baptist if you're going to put restraint on it? That makes no sense. I don't know. Maybe just somebody trying to be a contrarian or something like that. Gain attention by saying what's good is, you know, something everybody believes is good is bad. You know, one of those people. That guy.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you right now that it just sounds like something that I'm willing to pay the money for. So next time I'm up near that honey hole, I'll be stopping in and I might even grab 2 of them. It may be pricey, but it's quality over quantity for me these days.
Well, that's just it. And you know what? Drink what you like and what makes you happy. And this one in particular, I think, would probably be very good to sell her out. I mean, there's a lot of burn in it. There's a lot of really big flavors that I wouldn't worry too much about dissipating, even over a couple of years. I think this could sit nicely in somebody's cellar for a long time.
So I'll leave the one in my cellar to sell her more, and I'll buy one at the store and open it right away.
Drink. Yep, there you go.
Sounds good.
Drink it on the way home.
Amen. Well, you know, we have done, this is, I think, our third year that we've done a St. Patrick's Day episode. You can't ignore St. Patrick's as a drinking holiday, so we have to celebrate it. But we're running out of original ideas, so why not just pick a style that kind of relates to the event and go for, you know, I guess the 2 styles that everybody looks at are the Irish Reds and the Stouts. You know, there's the Irish Dry Stouts, but, you know, you can drink any stout because, hey, it's St. Patrick's Day. Like Dugout just said, drink what you like.
Well, drink yeah, and it's our show. We can do whatever we want.
Hell yeah. And just like we tell all our listeners, hey, whatever you like to drink is fine with us. We're not pretentious. You know, if you want to drink a Killian's, God bless you. If that's what makes you happy, you know, we'll still drink with you. We just probably won't order a Killian's. We have this delicious Conway's here from Great Lakes.
There you go.
That being said, now it's my time to go a little rogue and find something different. And I don't mean Rogue Brewing, no disrespect to them, but I've changed my mind three different times today. I really wanted to drink a Imperial Stout from Liberty Street Brewing in Plymouth, Michigan. A little shout out to Joe Walters out there. I was out at the brewery a couple nights ago and got an. They only have 64-ounce growlers, and I didn't bring my own container, so I ended up leaving with a 64 ounces of Imperial Stout called Emperor Norton Imperial Stout. It's about 9.5%. Delicious beer. I tried a sample at the brewery and decided it was good enough that I wanted a growler. However, usually I have a compadre or two next to me, but with Pete being in Florida and SAK not available tonight, I'm flying solo, and I'm not going to be drinking 64 ounces of Imperial Stout tonight, unless I plan on sleeping in all day tomorrow. So what I have done, apologies to Joe that I won't be able to drink that, because I'll probably drink it on St. Patrick's Day, though, because I probably will sleep most of the day Sunday. So what I do have here is a gift from another beer nut, Ross, who joins us frequently from North Carolina. And I have seems to be something that's extremely limited because I couldn't even find it on their website, but it's called Impending Grace. It's bourbon barrel aged Impending Grace Imperial Stout from Four Saints Brewing Company in North Carolina, in Asheboro, North Carolina. Not Asheville, Asheboro, North Carolina. So let's open this up. This is going to be a treat here. It comes in a 16-ounce can. I love that it has the Brewers Association Certified Independent Craft logo on it, something that identifies independent craft brewers that we should all be supporting. So that's cool. It means it's not brewed by Miller Coors or the Evil Empire. And I am pouring this now, and man, oh, oh man. I can tell this is going to be good because I know in a previous episode that the head on this thing is not, you know, we usually say it's that light cola, light beige head. This thing is like a dark brown, like a brown sugar color head. And it took a long time to dissipate, and it's just about gone now. But, I mean, this thing is coal black with a really dark head on it. I am getting bourbon, a little bit of smoke, a little bit of chocolate on the aroma. Oh, man, this is delicious. Lots of chocolate in this. It's like a double chocolate. Double chocolate, tons of, I get dark chocolate, coffee, roasted malt, maybe a little bit of burnt sugar, molasses, a little bit of sweetness. Yeah, like a creme brulee coffee, really creamy, little bit of a bitter chocolate finish, like a baker's chocolate finish on it. But it's fantastic. There's a little alcohol burn to this. Let me see the ABV. It's 10% even. I know that they're a little sensitive down in North Carolina. They used to be about their ABV limits. I'm not sure if that's been lifted. I'm sure Ross will correct me next time he's on the show. But, yeah, it's really delicious. Yeah, another sip of it. Man, it's just got all those great flavors that you really look for in a nice roasty stout. And then you got the bourbon barrel influence on there, a little tobacco, earthy coffee, burnt coffee, burnt espresso. Really, really nice drinker here. One that I think anybody would enjoy. And I think what's most impressive about it, along with the great flavors, is it's got a really nice creamy texture to it, the smooth mouthfeel. Real treat. So, I did look online for a description on their website, and the brewery they have a bunch of limited beers listed, but this wasn't even listed, so I have a feeling it was like a one-off. It says FSBC Barrel Series on the front of the can. Four Saints Brewing Company. So here is a description on the can, so I will read this. Deep, warm, and powerful, that's how grace is interpreted by us here at Four Saints. That's how Impending Grace Imperial Stout tastes as well. Dark cocoa flavors play with the sweetness of the added local honey. Roasted and burnt malt flavors are highlighted by the warming alcohol experience. The barrel aging of IG 18 and Buffalo Trace bourbon barrels add subtle yet distinct flavors and aromas of vanilla, charred oak, and timelessness. Enjoy this beer slowly and with some meditation to discover the grace in your life. 10% alcohol, unfiltered, unpasteurized, brewed in can by Four Saints Brewing Company, Asheboro, North Carolina. FourSaintsBrewing.com is their website. So, yeah, man, I'm very fortunate to have this. I don't know how hard it was to get, but we know that Ross works his magic down there. He's got a lot of connections, and shout out to him. Thank you very much, Ross, for sharing this. Wish somebody else was here to enjoy it with me, but I have a feeling that I'll still have to sleep late tomorrow, even though I didn't pop that growler open. So, a great bourbon barrel aged stout, courtesy of Ross, and I think we're going to go to Greg for one more beer, and then we're going to have a special guest from the Emerald Isle on. So, Greg, take it away.
All right. Last but not least, or at least for me, courtesy of Arbor Brewing Company out of, let's see, they're out of Ann Arbor, Michigan, and Ypsilanti, Michigan, I believe both locations, other besides having their own place in, over in India. This is called Michael Pharisee Stout, or just Pharisee Stout. This is a 4.5% easy drinking Irish dry stout. Picked it up in a 12-ounce can today. And this description off their website says, we blend black malts with roasted and flaked barley to brew this Irish-style stout, giving it a full body, notes of roasted coffee and dark chocolate, and a smooth, dry finish. And I've had this out for a little bit, but I remember when it poured, a nice mocha head, probably about half a finger, maybe a finger at the most. And the smell here is get a lot of, like it's in the description, like a lot of roasted coffee, a little dark chocolate in there as well. Yeah, I'll take another sniff before I take a sip here. The taste itself, much the same as the description on the nose there. It's a nice subtle roastness, maybe a little bit more than subtle. Get a little coffee off it. They say dark chocolate, but I call it like a bitter baker's chocolate type deal. Very dry feeling on the mouthfeel, maybe a little thin, but it's an Irish dry stout, and I think that's what you're looking for anyway. But this is very easy drinking. This would be great for St. Paddy's Day there. A pound a bunch of these to go along with our Conway Irish Ale we had a little while ago. And this is great. And this is a brewery that's been a little bit under the Michigan radar lately, but I think they're definitely producing some good beers over there, and we've got some great brew pubs to visit as well. So a great offering here. I imagine if you guys have had this at all, any of you guys?
I have not. I saw it at the store today, and I decided to go with the Conway's, but no, I have not had it. Sounds like maybe something to try.
I think I've had this a couple years back at the pub itself, the one in Ann Arbor, although I've been to the one in Ipsy too. I haven't been to the one in India, that's quite creative of them to get that opportunity to open a brew pub in India. But both places are pretty neat. They're fun. They're hopping. I can't speak for the one in Ipsy. I only drank there, but definitely the one in Ann Arbor had some really good food as well. I've eaten there a couple times and really enjoyed it. And the one in Ann Arbor is right downtown Ann Arbor. There's a couple other breweries just steps away, so it's mm-hmm. great time to or a great place to have a good time. And one thing I did want to mention is that in the States, St. Patrick's Day has become a drinking holiday, and in mm-hmm. Ireland was not so much the case, but has become more so over the years. It's become more Americanized over there, and I'm sure that we'll get more info on our call over to Ireland on it. But please, everybody, just if you're out and about on St. Patrick's Day, drink responsibly. It's not drink. It's not about drinking like a whole keg of green beer.
Oh gosh,
you know, it's just not. It's meant to be enjoyed. But you know, somebody from Chicago is very big in Irish tradition, and you know, three different parades throughout the Chicago metro area, at least three, you know, the Southside Irish Parade was always the families and the kids, and you know, it's as much about your families and those around you as it is about having a good time, and just always keep that in mind.
Amen.
You know, we have a DD.
Have a DD. There's Uber. There's Lyft. If you're going to be out, you know, have a ride. Stay off the roads. Have a great time, but do it responsibly. And if you're going to be drinking beers like Dugout and I, just stay at home and drink. Because there's nothing greater than the nightcap with the lazy boy chair and you know, watching some college hoops. It's you know, Sparty time, right?
Exactly.
I threw that out. Threw that bone out for you there.
Appreciate it.
Greg's beloved Sparty. Good luck in the tournament. All right. Well, those were some good beers there. And we do have one more beer, perhaps maybe even two. But we're going to have to go across the ocean for that. And with full disclosure here, we are recording this show at about 10 o'clock at night. And in Ireland, it is 3 a.m. So our guest from Ireland, an old friend of mine, an old roommate, and a lifelong buddy, Simon Woods, will be joining us on the show momentarily. But we will be dubbing his interview in separately. So the rest of us that are on here probably won't all be able to join. But sit tight, and it'll be a real treat to talk to a friend from Ireland who can tell us all about how they celebrate St. Patrick's Day in the motherland. And he's also been kind enough to introduce us to one of his local craft breweries called Treaty City. So hang on tight for that one. And for the rest of us beer nuts, we'll see you all next week. So I'm going to give a moment here for Chris to edit in the segment that we're going to record with Simon Woods from Ireland. Okay, everybody, we're back, and it's my privilege to introduce our distinguished guest from the Emerald Island, from Ireland, Simon Woods, an old friend of mine. Go way back. We were roommates in the D.C., Virginia area back in the late 80s, early 90s. So welcome, Simon, to Beer Nuts.
Back when our skin was tauter, not wrinkly. Hi, John. How's it going? How are you? And thank you very much for having me on the show.
Not too bad. We're delighted to have you as we do our annual St. Patrick's Day episode. How cool is it to have someone from Ireland be able to tell us how you celebrate the holiday over there, and tell us about a little bit about what you might know about the craft beer scene? I know you're not quite the beer aficionado that I am, but we're really delighted to hear what you can share with us. So,
absolutely.
So the first thing I want to ask you before you know what? Why not? Let's just get right into things. It's a beer show, so why don't you? I know that you've acquired a few selections there. Why don't you tell us what you have and what you're going to drink?
Okay, I have five different Irish craft beers here that I bought down in the supermarket. And what have I got? They're all, let me see, the first one I have is Sessions, Sessions IPA. It's actually McGargles, I never even heard of it. McGargles, they're from Kildare, which is near Dublin. Second one I have is Journeyman, Master Cooper. It's an Indian pale ale, but it is made here. And it's made in Newry in Northern Ireland.
That's excellent. Fast.
Next one I have is Brew, B-R-U, Father. That's with a little accent over the U. It's an Irish word. I assume I'm not even good at Irish. I assume it means brew, as in brewing beer. So it's a brewery, and it's a red ale. And Brew are from Trim in County Meath. Next one I have is Stag Rua, and this is an Irish red ale, and Stag Rua are from Ballyvourney. I'm not actually sure where that is. I have to Google it. And the last one, I love the name on this one. This is called Cute Hoor. And any Irish listeners, or possibly English listeners, will know what a cute hoor means. And it's an Irish pale ale. It's a very Irish expression for someone who's a chancer. Man, you cute hoor, yeah.
All so right, well...
I'm not going to drink them all, John, because it's Thursday.
Well, as you said, you would be wrecked. And we are recording this before St. Patrick's Day. If it were St. Patrick's Day, you perhaps could drink all five of those. But
I could, and I wouldn't be able to speak.
But as you said, you would be wrecked, as you say in your own terms. So but why don't you just select one of those? And if I could ask you one favor, if you could take pictures of those and send them to us, we will put them on the At Beer Nuts podcast Instagram and Twitter accounts, so everybody can see photos of the beers that you're enjoying. So just pick one or two out, and I'll tell you what, you do one, I'll do one, and then you do one, and
all right.
And we'll call it a trio.
All righty. First one, so I'm
three
starting
bars of the Irish flag, right?
Pardon me? The tricolor, yes. Three colors. Yes. Orange for Northern Ireland, green for Ireland, and the white means peace between the two.
Let's renew that. See, we're getting educated, too, as we drink beer. All right. I'm going to
show
my pie hole now, so introduce us to your first beer.
The first beer is from the brewery, and it's the red ale. I guess it's an Irish red ale. And you want me to describe colors?
Yes, sure.
It's not very red for something that's red ale. I'm holding it up to the light here. It's almost like a dark lager color. Frothy head. Smells like almost smells like a homebrew. Not overpoweringly yeasty, but has a strong yeast smell to it. Now, take a taste. Mm. Yeah. It totally reminds me of homebrew. Yeah, I wouldn't be too impressed with it now, to be fair. I'll drink it, though. Yeah, second mouthful is a bit better than the first one. But it does taste like a homebrew.
Well, that's not always a bad thing if you have a good homebrewer. A homebrew could be good or bad. So we have some very good homebrewers in the Beer Nuts, especially Dugout and Uncle Pete. And I think my homebrews aren't too bad. But that's okay. So you say it wasn't very dark in color, so it was more of like a dark golden or going into the amber, ruby, amber, somewhere in the middle of that?
Closer to gold. Somewhere in the middle, I'd say. Yeah, it's a gold, definitely. Dark.
Well, if you're able to take a photo of what it looks in the glass, you know, we'll post these. Sounds intriguing. You know, you can see what they look like.
Can I just send them to Messenger?
Yeah, we'll talk after the episode. We can get that together. You can send them after we're finished recording. So any other comments on this beer? Would you buy it again?
No, I wouldn't think so, no.
Okay. Well, brutally honest.
If I was to do this at home, I'd probably be very well impressed with myself not having a clue about beer. But as an actual bottle product, I've drunk a lot of homebrew in different people's houses over the years, and it definitely tastes like homebrew. It doesn't, I don't know, it's not jumping out at me as anything special.
Gotcha. Oh, well, but as you said, I'll drink it.
Oh, yes, it won't go to waste.
Well, just so you don't feel lonely reviewing, it is 1 o'clock in the afternoon here, because of the time difference, we weren't able to have Simon join the rest of the Beer Nuts for the rest of the segment of this show. So we're doing an abbreviated interview with Simon, and I wasn't going to leave him hanging and do the broadcast without having at least one beer with him. So I am pouring a Against the Grain Brewery from Louisville, Kentucky, their 35K Stout. Didn't want to have something too strong this early in the day, so it's a 7% alcohol by volume. So I just poured it. It's got a nice, like cola-looking head on it. One finger, solid one finger, very good level of carbonation. And it's, as expected for a stout, it's coal black. But I like the fact that the head is darker, too. That usually tells me it'll be roasty and malty. So let's take a smell. Definitely roasted malt, a little chocolate on the nose. So let's go ahead and taste it. Yep, as expected, really nice roasted malt You got that chocolate, nice full mouth feel. It's definitely a level above. It's not thin in any way, or it's more like a stout than a porter, which is what you look for. And as you would say over there, Simon, it's a lovely beer. So it says on the can, it says, wiggity woo, we're putting in a swimming pool, and if there's enough left over, we're going to fly you all down here to help us dedicate it. This is not your typical jelly of the month club milk stout. This stout is silky, smooth, and sweet, and it's worth the $35K, but you can only have a little because the rest is ours. So it is a milk stout. There is a little sweetness to it from the addition of lactose, which is an unfermentable sugar, which makes this a little bit on the sweeter side, but it's very easy to drink, very enjoyable, and you know, it's fulfilling. Cheers. Sláinte.
Sláinte. Let me ask you, John, does it have a widget in the can?
It does not have a widget in the can. There is no nitro explosion to this one, but we do have several brands here in the States that use the nitro widgets, and I actually really enjoy a beer on nitro. And more pubs and breweries are offering nitro offerings. So it is it enhances the mouthfeel quite a bit, and it's, I always enjoy having a nice creamy nitro stout. You would also, Simon, I will make sure I send you the picture because I know you'll like the artwork on the can. It's a big skeleton and a cartoon of a skeleton and just a lot going on. It says regretful tattoo on the arm. It's got all kinds of weird tattoos. But pretty good artwork that they have. Against the Grain, I have been to this brewery in Louisville, Kentucky. They do some great things. And this is a staple of theirs, their 35K stout, so... There's my obligatory beer, so now I'll turn it back to you, Simon. Before we get into your next beer, just to give you a little chance to breathe a little bit, I'd just like to ask you, number one, tell us anything you can about the craft beer scene over there. Is craft beer a big hit like it is here, or is it relatively new, or has the craft fad been going on for a while over there? And I know you're not a big beer drinker yourself, so we're not asking you to pretend to be somebody or not, but tell us what you can, you know, anything you can about the craft beer scene that you see over there in Ireland.
Well, it's definitely has been growing in the last 12, 15 years. Before that, it was mainly just the usual mass-produced beers, and you didn't see too much. I remember going to Dublin, in a restaurant in Dublin, rather, that had their own sort of microbrewery in the restaurant. And I'd been at some in America when I was over there. So to see one of those here was a bit, wow, this is cool. You know, you don't see this here. And as you went down the stairs, you can see the setup they had for brewing the beer. The beer was lovely. But the actual bottled beer in the supermarket, say, or the off-license, which is, I think you call your ABC store there, that has definitely grown, and there's a lot of brands. I just picked five. There's a lot more Irish than I thought there was. One of these, by the way, I picked, which was the Cute Hoor, with the Irish name to it, produced in Cork, is actually produced by Heineken. So I'm not quite sure it's 100% Irish and if it's really a craft beer. But the bottle shape and the label on it, the catchy name, might have you think, oh, that's a craft beer, and I just buy it. But when you read the finer detail, it's by mass-produced, you know.
We have brands like that here in the States, and we call those crafty beers, where they're produced by a large macro brewer, but they try to pass them off as a smaller, you know. So they drink like a craft beer, but it's what's important to a lot of craft beer aficionados here in the States is they're looking for that independent craft brewer. You know, not part of the big conglomerates. So it's kind of, yes, the beer is probably very good in quality, but, you know, they kind of get a little bit of a negative stigma here for being part of the big, you know, the big corporate breweries. So, yes, the beer is probably good, but a little strike against it. But I'm really glad you brought that up because that's the same thing it is here. We have, you've probably heard of Blue Moon, which is mass-produced by Coors, but it's a lovely wit beer, and it sells good, and it tastes good, but it's owned by Miller Coors, one of the giants. So you know, if you give me a choice between that and a locally produced one, I'll usually go for the locally produced one. Nothing wrong with those beers, but, you know, take it with a grain of salt. You know, you're...
Well, John, you remember Smithwick's from when you were here?
Sure, Smithwick's. I do, yep.
So Smithwick's are the big name in Ireland for making a red Irish ale, if you like. And in recent years, they have changed, I don't know whether they changed the type of beer, but the traditional beer that you used to get on the tap or in bottle or in cans changed. And what they moved up to, I suppose it was in cans, it might have had a widget in it, very creamy. It was absolutely lovely. But in more recent years, they have been honing in on the craft brew market, and their advertising shows people, in the television advert, it shows people brewing their own beer and all the hassles they were having with brewing the beer. You know, like one guy's heating something and it overflows and that kind of stuff, and they can't get the yeast, the sugar content right, that kind of thing. But then it's like, it's not saying don't buy their products or don't brew it yourself, rather, and buy Smithwick's, but it's just saying, we sympathize with you, we know how hard it is, and this is what we've made. You know, so it is a blatant attempt to move in on that market, you know. But I do know a guy in Limerick who, his name is Steve Kinnean. I don't know him that well, but I met him from my brother Alan, who was involved in food in Limerick. Steve runs started a microbrewery, if you like, or a craft brewery. I'm not familiar, I haven't been in it, so I don't know how big it is, but it's growing. And he started a beer called Treaty City Beer. And Treaty City is another name for Limerick City in Ireland. And I'm going to be shot in the foot by historians here. I don't actually know what the treaty is that was signed, so I'm going to have to look it up. But I'm being honest. But the beer is lovely. I've had it, and I would like to do sort of a mini documentary on startups in Ireland. This is my work for your listeners. I work doing TV kind of producing work, and I'm interested in documentaries and film. But the documentary and the things, I would like to go to places like Steve's Brewery and film him, film what they do, and find out how they started. You know, looking for people who are passionate. And Steve is definitely passionate about his product and what he makes, so he would make for a very cool show, you know.
Well, that would be grand, as you said, and maybe at some point we can have Steve Skype in and do a segment for our podcast.
I had thought of that, but the time wasn't enough for me to get in there. I thought about bringing my laptop into him and saying, hey, are you free this afternoon? Let's do this.
Oh, well, we have a whole year to plan that out. Perhaps we'll do it for next St. Patrick's Day, or maybe before that even. So we can talk about that later. So I'm glad to hear that.
Any of your listeners wanted to do anything in Ireland, if it's to do a beer, they can contact you and contact me. No problem, if I can help anybody out.
Fantastic. That sounds great. So, go ahead and introduce your other beer. And then after that, I'm just going to ask you if you can explain how St. Patrick's Day is celebrated there and how it may be different. For you, having lived in the States for several years earlier in your life, I'm sure you see how commercialized the holiday is here, and maybe you can explain how it may be different over there. But first, why don't you try one more of your beers? Hopefully it'll be better than your first selection.
Alrighty. I'm going to go with the McGargles. It's called Dara's Session IPA, and it's brewed in Kildare in Ireland, lovely part of the country, as is most parts. On the back, it's described as juicy ripe fruits, pine and citrus, silky full body, resinous bitterness. That's an unusual description. We'll open it up. Have a try. Ooh, I can smell fruit off it straight away. Now, I noticed, John, that you were describing the bubbles. Yes, it has bubbles, carbonation. Got a nice little frothy head on it. It does look like a lager beer. It's very pale, and it does say, but it is an IPA, so very pale. And smell the aroma. Wow, that's
strong, an happy.
That's an unusual smell. Very fruity. Smell a little bit of yeast in it. Not much. That's lovely. It's actually really nice smelling. So now I'm going to taste it. Yeah, it's fruity. You can definitely, what to describe in the back? Pine and citrus flavors. Okay. Don't like to think of bark mulch being in the beer, but I have seen Shameless USA, and I saw one of the characters, Frank, making beer, is putting bark mulch into it, so I'm not sure what that does in the process. But this is nice, yeah, I like it.
I'm glad it's better than your first one. Now, we call people that like IPAs and hoppier beers hopheads, so perhaps maybe you're a bit of a hophead.
Possibly.
Session beer, so it's probably, do you know, happen to know how much the alcohol percent is?
Yes, that one's a 3.8% volume, the 500 milliliter bottle. I'm not too sure what that is in American money. The other one, the first one I drank, the brewery, is a 4.2% volume and 500 ml bottle.
Okay. So they're both relatively low. The beer I'm drinking is 7%. So I think Europeans are a little bit smarter than Americans. They pace themselves a little bit better, and the beers aren't quite as strong, which is kind of an old wives' tale here, that everybody thinks all the beers in England, Ireland, Scotland, and the United Kingdom are, you know, much stronger than ours, which couldn't be further from the truth. Matter of fact, if you go to Scotland, you know, Scottish ales are typically, you know, 3 to 5%, because people want to be able to have a few pints and still be able to function. Okay. So if you have 3 pints of a 7 or 8 percenter, you're going to be feeling pretty melancholy.
Say the least. I've been in Scotland a few times. I love the place. And I tend to drink bitter when I'm over there. I like to try the bitter because their beers are totally different than here. Yeah, they have the usual Budweiser and Heineken, the commercial stuff. But when you travel around Scotland, it's very typical, I suppose not unlike here, in the bars, to get local beers on tap. And it could be bitters, it could be stouts, it could be ales. But I like the bitter. And they're usually non-carbonated, and they use a pump system. It's, you know, when they pull in the, when they're pouring the beer, it's like a pump.
Yep,
and they
absolutely
pump it back and forth, and it sucks it up out of the casket. And they're lovely, but I've had nights drinking those the next morning, wondering, you know, how did I get here?
Well, what's amazing about those pumps is they actually, it's kind of a workout to get those out. You actually have to physically pump the beer out, and it's generally served at much warmer temperatures than we're used to here. And it's like a firkin, but the beer is lovely, like you said, and not much carbonation at all. You know, not quite flat, but just a small amount of carbonation. But if you've ever had those, I was surprised that they did that, because once you tap one of those, it has to be done, and you have to go through it in about 48 hours or so, or the beer just goes flat and it will spoil. But as I asked the barkeep in Edinburgh, he said, oh, that's not a problem here. We turn the beer over usually within one day. So I guess that means there's plenty of consumers to drink up the product. So business must be good.
They're probably small kegs, half kegs as well, so they don't waste as much. I don't really know. But yeah, lovely.
All right, well, then let's get back to St. Paddy's Day. And when I say St. Paddy's Day, that's with a D, not a T. We don't say St. Patricia. It's St. Patrick. But anyway, could you just tell us, what are your plans to celebrate and how typically things are done there and how it may be different from how we celebrate here in the United States?
Well, typically in our house, myself, my wife Lisa, and the kids, we all dress in something green and we head out to the parade in the local town. And we're fortunate that we're in between two towns and in between a very large town and then a city. So we're kind of in the middle of all four. So we have our choice of where we want to go. But we normally go to a place called Killaloe. If anybody wants to Google it and have a look, it's a fabulous place for tourists. Beautiful spot with the River Shannon going through it. For fishing, if anyone's in fishing. So we go down there and watch the parade come through. And Killaloe is on one side of the river. And it's in County Clare. On the opposite side of the river, it looks like the second half of the town, but there's another town called Ballina, and that's in County Tipperary. I live in Tipperary. So the river divides the two counties right beside where we live. But everybody gets together. There's no nothing against each side, or Tipperary or Clare, and like that. And we just watch the parade and normally go for some Guinness and Tato crisps, cheese, onion crisps afterwards. This year, though, I'm actually going to be filming it because I need to document it. So I'll be out with my camera in and around the actual floats and the dancers and the bands. And There might even be some Americans there. You never know. Dublin, for sure, there's always Americans in Dublin. They come over every year, which is great to see. A lot of the marching bands come over for the parade. And the parade in Dublin is massive. It's huge. They actually make a sort of a week-long festival out of it, the Patrick's Festival. So there's lots of different events on, a lot of arts and things. And it's a cool week in Dublin. But down here, we tend to have the one day. And I'll send you on the video when I'm done with it. You can have a look.
That'd be great.
So just you were mentioning about Paddy and Patty. And I see a lot of people posting up on social media, Happy Patty's Day, P-A-T-T-Y. Patty is obviously a piece of meat or that goes in a burger, or it's a girl's shortened version of somebody, Patty from The Simpsons, is it Marge's sister?
Or a Krabby Patty.
Yeah, so we would be more inclined to say Paddy, and Paddy is P-A-D-D-Y, and Paddy is a shortened version of the name Patrick, but not everybody Patrick goes under that name. And it's, we have a bit of fun with it, it's our kind of our national holiday, so it's not a problem calling it Paddy's Day, but some people feel it should only be called St. Patrick's Day, not Paddy's Day, because Paddy's, the name Paddy, and no offense to anybody who's named Paddy, but it goes back to the days when the Irish weren't accepted in certain countries like England and parts of America like New York, where, you know, the turn of the century, they'd go as immigrants looking for work, and you'd see signs looking for carpenter, but no Irish need apply. Or even worse, in the UK, there would be signs outside places that would say, no blacks, no Irish, no dogs. And Irish were known as paddies or micks. And they ended up, you know, so it's a bit derogatory in that sense. But some people feel, you know, we should be more prouder than that and ditch the name Paddy's Day and just go with St. Patrick's Day. But I don't genuinely think that people who call it Paddy's Day are thinking that deep into it. It's just a fun day. You know, they want to see the happy side of it and not look at bad things in the past, that kind of thing. Well, so I'm, it's a very interesting topic, you know.
Yeah, I never knew that would be a derogatory term, but the way you explain it, I completely understand that it could be offensive to some people. But I assure you that anybody that uses the name here probably has no clue about that, as I didn't, and means no, you know, does not mean it to be offensive in any way. It's, you know, well, it's all about the fun. And but it's interesting you say that. I'll try to be a little bit more sensitive to that.
No, it's okay. It's perfectly okay. Most people are okay with it, let's be honest. We're more offended when you call it Patty's Day.
That's so right. So the best thing you can do is call it St. Patrick's Day. Patty's Day, a little bit more acceptable with the D, but totally unacceptable with the T. And I totally agree with that. And that's a lot of people in the U.S. get that part of it. But it was a little bit educational about the Paddy description, so thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Now, just to expand on my earlier question, how it sounds very similar to how we celebrate here. You know, everybody, it's kind of like a commercial excuse to buy and sell green clothing and necklaces and hats, to sell merchandise, and also an excuse to drink. So. Is there a big difference in how you celebrate there? Is it pretty much the same everywhere?
Well, that ties briefly in with what I was saying there about the name Paddy's. That's the other association with the name Paddy's, is Irish and drunks. I disagree with that. I will admit Irish like our drink, but we're no different than people in the States, and we're definitely no different than people in Europe, like the Germans or the Polish. They drink just as much as we do. So let's just get that sorted, you know. It is gone very commercial, yeah. There's lots of people hone in, you know, marketing and all this for business. Everyone, if there's money to be made, they're in on it. Like the beer, the mass beer producers hopping in on the supposed craft beer that they're selling to fit in. If they're seeing opportunities. So I remember years ago when I was about 14, my mum and I went to Lourdes in France, and it's a holy pilgrimage. And I was a very Catholic thing to do. But anyway, I went, and the only thing I noticed when I got there was how commercial it was. Now, there wasn't big, flashy billboards like you'd see in Vegas advertising the Virgin Mary, but every shop you went into, that's all they sold was, you're looking for a bottle of Coke? Yeah, and it's right beside the statues of Mary. So everybody's commercializing everything, and Patrick's Day is no different. You know, so it's very similar to there. Mainly it's a parade and then drink.
Oh, we have parades here too, and I think probably here and possibly there, like all the bars here or pubs there in Ireland. It's a big day for pubs and bars to celebrate as well. Is it the same there? Is it a big day for the pub?
Yeah, it is. This Patrick's Day in particular is, for a lot of people, is a very big day because Ireland has just been playing the rugby. We don't really have American football here. The closest team we remotely have is the rugby, and I absolutely love rugby and watch it. Been watching the Six Nations, and Ireland have, on points, have won the competition. Which is fantastic. But the final game is on St. Patrick's Day in Twickenham in the UK, and we are playing England. So if we win against England, we will get what's called the Grand Slam victory. So for Patrick's Day in the UK, and it being England, we must win.
I agree. And I actually do enjoy rugby too. And I have actually watched a few games, and I know, I'm aware that Ireland's doing well, so I will be rooting for Ireland against England for sure. But what a great celebration that would be to win that on St. Patrick's Day.
Mm. Talk about the sherry on the pie.
Yeah, might have to break out the Tullamore Dew for that.
Oh, yeah. Very nice. Absolutely. Right.
To reminisce a bit, my last visit to Ireland, I stayed with Simon and his family, and him and his wife were kind enough to drive me to the Tullamore Dew Heritage Center, which is where they used to distill Tullamore Dew Irish whiskey. And at that time in my life, I was working for a spirits broker, and we handled the brand. So we were treated like royalty there, and it was quite a nice time at the Heritage Center, and there was... they kept the bar open just for us at the end of the tour, and we had a few libations. And a funny story, on the way home, we had to pull over off the freeway, the highway, to relieve ourselves, and we're stopped by the Garda. Long story short, we were told to be on our merry way, and we didn't get in any trouble, but it could have been a bad, bad experience. But fortunately, the Garda just said, get the heck out of here, and don't go anywhere except straight home. And also, of course, we did have a designated driver, as I believe Lisa was pregnant at the time. So that was probably a saving grace.
That's right.
I had to share that story, Simon. That was a good time. And
John, that baby is now 17 and just about to finish secondary school, high school, as you'd call it there, going to college.
That was, if I recall, that was the year 2000, because I got presented with a special hand-painted millennial bottle dated the year 2000, which I just cracked open a couple of years ago. I remember the older gentleman who presented me with the bottle made me promise it wouldn't be a dust collector and that I would drink the whiskey. And a couple of years ago, when Penn State played a game in Ireland, that's when I finally broke it out and had a few shots out of it. So perhaps on Saturday, on St. Patrick's Day, I'll make that part of my celebration.
Nice one.
All right. Well, would you like to taste another beer, or are you ready to wrap this up?
No, I'll taste one more. I've just opened the Journeyman Indian Pale Ale. And this is where they're from, Journeyman. They're from Newry, County Down, Northern Ireland.
Northern Ireland.
Northern Ireland, yeah. And
still part of the United Kingdom, correct?
It is, yeah. And you're probably aware of Brexit, that when all that comes into play, when they finally leave the EU after shooting themselves in the foot. But anyway, when they do leave, Northern Ireland is going to be doing trade with England, which is our neighbour, is going to be difficult. It puts a lot of spanners in the work. And they want to, the Europe, I don't know who wants, we're trying to avoid putting a hard border in between Northern Ireland and Ireland. It's ridiculous. Kind of like putting a border in between America and
building the wall.
Yeah, they want to put in, see, when I was growing up with the Troubles here, and I don't want to dwell too much on that, but I remember going to Northern Ireland with my parents and crossing over the border. It was going through like a demilitarized zone, and there was army everywhere and guns and all sorts of stuff. It's just stuff we never saw growing up in Ireland. If you saw the Irish army on the road, you'd be like, geez, look at that. There's something you never see, you know. I know in the States you see a lot of military around, but not over here. But we don't want to return to that situation. You know, we kind of like it open and peaceful the way it is.
Absolutely. Remember the the white bar of the flag is for peace, right?
Absolutely, that's what it's for. Yeah, so I won't waffle on too much. The Journeyman Indian Pale Ale. So, carbonation, it's got bubbles, yeah. I couldn't tell you how many there are, there's a lot. The head on it is very frothy, but it's frothy sticking to the glass, if you know what I mean. The smell, the aroma, it's you don't smell any yeast off it. It smells very fruity. Yeah. It's not as fruity as the Sessions IPA a minute ago. I'm going to give it a taste. It's not dissimilar to the last beer one that I just had. Gargles. Yeah, it's nice. Don't know if I'd run out to buy it again, though. It's a bit bland.
Now, do you have any idea, is there a date on there? Is there any way to tell how old the beer is when it was produced?
Probably. I'll have a quick look.
One of the things about hoppy beers is the hops fade over time. So if you get a good one, chances are it's fresher. You know, the freshness is a big component of, you know, how much you might enjoy the beer.
Well, I don't think this is too old. It's the best before I can see is 31st of January 2019.
Oh, and that's pretty good.
Yeah,
it's probably got a one-year shelf life.
It is nice as an Indian pale ale, I suppose, but I'm not sure I'd run out and buy it again. I think out of the three, I think I like the McGargles best.
Is that the Session?
That's the Sessions. Session IPA.
Well, please be sure and send us photos of these, and we'll put them out on Instagram and Twitter.
I will indeed.
Really want to thank you for taking the time to do this. It's been a pleasure having you on, and of course, always good to catch up with you. You know, next time we Skype, we'll just have a nice personal conversation and catch up. And of course, it's been 18 years since my last visit to Ireland. I would certainly love to come back and visit you again sometime, and you're always welcome here. I know you were just here in the States. Unfortunately, things didn't work out for us to connect on your last trip, but let's make sure that doesn't happen again. So next time I'm on your continent, I pledge to visit with you.
Yeah, it's a pity we didn't meet up. I thoroughly enjoyed my time there. Got to go down to North Carolina to Kitty Hawk Beach and got to hang out with some friends. It was good. Very good. Good.
Ironically, I stayed in the same house you did just a couple weeks later. But timing is everything, and all things happen for a reason. But best to you and the family. And my gosh, 17 years old. Is your daughter driving?
No. I can't afford it here. It's too expensive.
Oh.
To put her on our car would be about $7,000.
Oh,
she's welcome.
Yes, you're.
They discriminate against young drivers here because of accidents and stuff.
Yep.
You know, so the insurance is just untouchable, to be honest. No, she's going to be going to college in Dublin, hopefully in September. She's doing arts or something, animation drawing, that kind of thing. But she'll be staying with her grandparents, and the college, if she gets into it, is only about a 10-minute walk down the road from her grandparents, so she'll be fine.
Wonderful, wonderful. Best of luck with that, and thank you again for being on the Beer Nuts podcast, and that makes you a full-blown, you are now dubbed as a beer nut, so you can add that to your resume. You are now officially a beer nut. Thanks for being on our show, and Sláinte, have a great St. Patrick's Day. And I will have a shot of Tullamore Dew once I am back home safely and don't have to drive. Please don't drink and drive, everybody. I know it's a big deal in Ireland, too, that when I was there, no one ever... we always had a driver, a designated driver, every time we went to the pub, and that's what we should strive for here in the States as well. Nothing ruins the party more than a DUI, so please be responsible and have a great time, but do it safely.
Very strict on it here, yeah. Right. The rules of the road are very strict, especially when it comes to drugs, drinking, stuff like that. You know? Hey, John, thanks very much for having me. It's been fun, and I hope I didn't bore anybody. But I've enjoyed trying my three beers here, the Brew Brewery, the McGargle Session IPA, and the Journeyman IPA, all brewed in Ireland. And, tasty. I enjoyed them. Enjoyed this. Thanks. Thank you, Rick.
Thanks so much for sharing them. And, you know, we look forward maybe to a future interview with Treaty City. Look forward to that.
Thank you. So. I could do that for you.
For some future interaction there. All right. Well, thank you very much. Simon Woods from Ireland, from County Tipperary, correct?
Tipperary. Yeah.
All right. Thanks again for coming on. Cheers, Lancha, and may the luck of the Irish be with you.
Be Gara.
Okay.
Cheers, John. Bye.
Cheers. Any final comments for everybody? We are not going to do the hipster tipster this week because it's St. Paddy's Day, and we'll catch up on beer news next week. I don't think there was any really big news, was there? Oh, do you have something? Go ahead.
I have just one quick thing. I've got still got a little bit of a keg of oatmeal stout that I brewed with cocoa and orange, cocoa nibs and orange peel. And I sort of pulled that offline and put another beer in its place so that I could save up enough for St. Patrick's Day. So we got a little bit of the homebrew action going on Saturday, and I'll be happy.
Oh, so awesome. Who knows? You never know. I might make it to Clausen that day. But anybody else? Final comments? Any big news this week? I'm trying to remember. I can't really think of anything earth-shattering happening in the beer business. Anybody?
Nothing.
I guess everybody's just waiting for the tournament and waiting for St. Paddy's Day. It's a great time of year. You can drink. You can watch basketball. But just remember to do so responsibly. Have a DD. Take that extra minute to plan accordingly and have a great time, because that's what it's all about, having fun. So if everybody's ready, I think it's time to go to Old Mexico City. What do you think?
Let's do it.
So as they all say, right, in Old Mexico City, AMMF.
If you like this show, please tell a friend. Please follow us on Twitter and like and share us on Facebook by searching for Christopher Media. You can subscribe to all ChristopherMedia.net shows for free on ChristopherMedia.net. Please make sure to rate and comment on all your favorite Christopher Media shows. Thank you in advance for supporting Christopher Media by clicking on the PayPal button and by clicking through to all the sponsors who support ChristopherMedia.net. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net, and thank you for listening.
Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.